Joining the phone right now is author Carter Bays. You may know him from How I Met Your Mother. He co-created and wrote the show for those, I think, was it 9 seasons, Carter, did it run?
9 seasons. It felt like about 49 seasons, but it was just 9, I think.
Yeah, well, it did.
Solid decade in my life.
It did. Hi, hey, Carter, by the way. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here, Mark.
You got a new book out called The Mutual Friend. I got it yesterday. I read it yesterday. I loved it yesterday, and we're talking about it today.
Wow, you're a fast reader. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, they had a little trouble getting a little behind the scenes. The book arrived late, but I just sat down and started reading it after I had my Domino's pizza at about 11 o'clock yesterday morning, and I finished it at about 4 o'clock this morning because I don't sleep at night, so I was just reading it off and on between the time that I sleep, the time that I'm awake, and the time that I have to walk the dog.
Wow, that's a big day.
You know what? The thing is, it's not a hard read because if you enjoy a book and you don't want to put it down, you just keep reading.
Yeah, thank you. That's the best compliment I could get, and I know that feeling when I get a book that I love and can't put it down. That's what you look for.
Well, that was how it was for those 49 seasons of How I Met Your Mother. You just kept going and going and going and. Finally, we had to get to that mother by the 9th season. People were clamoring for it, me included.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no avoiding it by the end. Thank goodness we found Kristen Milioti, who did such a fantastic job.
Yeah. Was there any, did that show, could it have gone a little while longer? Did the cast not want to do it anymore? Did CBS not want it anymore, or was it just time?
It was just time. I think it honestly, like, when we were ready to end it, like, in season 7, I think.
Yeah.
But sort of a combination of things. The number one thing just being that we loved our coworkers and we loved working there, and everyone had a great time making that show, and so we just kind of felt like there's more road ahead of us. There's more stories to tell. Let's just keep going. We definitely got everybody to the apple.
Kind of like Friends. I mean, 10 seasons was great. I could have kept going, but it was just time.
Yeah, it was time. And we all wanted to do other things. I wanted to do things like write novels.
Yeah.
That always felt like my next step, and so here I am.
Well, this is your first novel, The Mutual Friend. It's out June 7th. And so you wrote TV shows. You've written for Letterman. You wrote for American Dad. How much different, I know it's a lot different, but is it easier or harder to write a novel as opposed to a TV show?
It's different. It's different. There's good and bad things to both, and I think, I don't know if I could even say that I prefer one to the other. And, like, with a television show, it's all about collaboration. It's all about working as a team, which I love. When you're on a good writing staff, there's nothing more fun than hanging out in the room and coming up with stories together and working with actors and working with crew and working with the director and working with an editor. All of that stuff I love and I'll always miss it and I'll always want to go back to it. But on the other hand, I also love storytelling and when you have a big story to tell, I just found there's something so freeing about just sitting down in a room and writing it. When you write a script for television, you're writing something, you're kind of making the ingredients for the cake that you'll eventually bake as opposed to the cake itself. With a novel, you don't have to pitch it. You don't have to convince someone to give you money to make it. You don't have to cast it. You don't have to do any of that. But, you tell the story and then it's done. And if nobody wants to read it, then you go down to Kinko's and print it up and just put it on your bookshelf. And
yeah.
At least you can say you've done it. So that was sort of the impetus for me to switch over to fiction.
Well, so did you write the book first and then get the book deal, or did you pitch the idea and then write the book?
I wrote the book first. It was a complete leap of faith. It was I just sort of took a couple years. I had the story I really wanted to tell, and I just felt like I needed to, like, give myself a couple years to just work on this. And so I spent, 2 solid years going into an office and just saying to myself, okay, 1,000 words today, 1,000 words today. I would just give myself these little mini deadlines, mini quotas, and it all eventually added up, and it turned into this this book.
Well, with a wife and three kids, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do either.
No. They get infinite credit for supporting me and letting me chase this. It's really, I couldn't have done it without
well,
my wife.
The book, The Mutual Friend, it's in the summer of 2015. Alice Quick needs to get to work. She's 28 years old, grieving her mother, barely scraping by as a nanny, freshly kicked out of her apartment. If she could just get her act together and sign up for the MCAT because she wants, she's been talking about being a doctor for years. And I guess you have to take this thing called the MCAT, which I didn't know about, so I learned something new there. She can start chasing her dream of becoming a doctor, but she keeps getting distracted. She does finally sign up for this thing. She has 90 days to study and learn it. I love that, like, it seems like almost every other page with her story is like, 90 days till test, 85 days till test, 83 days till test. And yet she's...
That's kind of the framework for the book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun kind of romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And it's just, the framework is like this girl trying to study for this test and just all the distractions that come her way. And distractions are little, like, her phone is the biggest distraction and her trying to break her habit of checking Twitter and checking Instagram. But then the distractions get bigger and bigger. Her family and her friends. She has a crazy roommate who drags her off on all these adventures. It's just a fun, kind of at times hilarious and heartbreaking little romp through New York over the course of this one summer.
Yeah, we won't give too much away, but some of there are other characters besides Alice. There's her brother Bill, who is married to nicknamer is Pitter Pat. He's rich. He helps sell an app. But he's always been kind of flighty. Like, he'll want to play the piano, and then he'll stop. He'll want to go to Egypt, and then he'll decide, nah, I don't want to go. So his latest thing now is he hawks everything, and he decides to become a Buddhist monk, which is funny in itself. Alice's roommate is Roxy, you mentioned. She works at the governor's office. She can't even pronounce his name right. She accidentally puts out a bad press release, which kind of gets her in trouble. We find out that the governor, this old guy, wants her, and it causes trouble. Then I don't know if this is the best character in the book, but it's the most quirkiest and creepiest is Bob, the dating app creep, I call him. I call him the dating app creep.
He is a dating app creep, for sure. I mean, and I think all of these characters reflect, I don't want to say, are based on myself, but are some side of me, I think. And Bob, I'm not like Bob.
Yeah,
I hope not. Stress, just to be clear about that. But, like, I got married in 2011. It was right before the, or 2010. It was before all the dating apps happened, like right before. And so I had all these, I saw my single friends get into dating apps, and I sort of, it was always kind of this, like, there but for the grace of God go I kind of thing. Because you could see how it completely changed dating. And I really wanted to explore what it would be like for a guy my age to just start doing the dating apps and just kind of marinate in that for 10 to 15 years, and how that affects your brain, how that affects, your approach to love. I wanted to tell a story of a guy trying to come back from that.
Did you secretly
reclaim his humanity?
I'm not saying you went on any dates or did anything, but did you sign up for any dating apps just to see what they're like?
No, and I promised my wife that I wouldn't. Not even in research. So a lot of it is speculative.
And we just follow all these characters throughout the novel, and strange things happen. All their lives intercede. And then it just, you know what else I liked? You kind of did what's called asides in the book, where you'll talk about a fringe character, but then you'll explain what happened to this character going forward in their life.
Yeah. I mean, there is a narrative device that sort of reveals itself as the story, as the book goes on. I really wanted to write I wanted to explore, like, the idea of an omniscient narrator. I mean, there's so much, like, the idea of omniscience in a narrator. It's like there's so much information that's actually out there. Like, you think about all the information that's sitting on every hard drive in the world, and if you could see all of that, what stories would unfold that no one else ever would have noticed? What coincidences are happening all the time that we don't see? And so I wanted to explore that with this narrator. And in the course of that, there's kind of a big twist that, like, I really wanted to write a book that is just a really fun, hilarious, romantic book the first time you read it, but then you can go back and read it again and see all the stuff that you missed along the way. It's full of, like, little surprises and Easter eggs.
Jason Siegel says, the mutual friend is great. Carter Bays is one of the funniest people I know. More importantly, though, he always finds the heart and truth in all of his humor. Mindy Kaling says, I love this story. The dialogue is so good. Also, it's very funny. What more could I want? So there's a couple of all your Hollywood friends going to bat for you.
Yeah, well, I'm happy that, like, I feel like some of my Hollywood friends have come up, stepped up and said really nice things about it. And I'm more excited that a lot of people that I don't know, that I've never met in my life, have been saying really nice things about it. So that's been really encouraging. Jason and Mindy, that's very, very sweet of them to say that.
I can see this as a Netflix or a Hulu type series. I know the book doesn't come out until June 7th, but have you guys been pitching it anywhere?
You know, that's always an option in the future. Right now, I'm focused on the book, and I'm focused on the TV show that plays inside your brain when you read it. That's kind of what I've been really focusing on. Mm-hmm. But it could be. We'll see.
Before I let you go, I know you got a bunch of these to do. Are you also working on How I Met Your Father? That's on Hulu, right?
Yeah. I worked on it the first season, and Craig and I are still kind of around. We decided very early on that it's not, you know, we did our show, we did our story, and so this is, luckily we have two fantastic writers, Isaac Aftecker and Elizabeth Berger, who are just fresh off of This Is Us, and they're telling a whole new story, which we're excited to, just as fans, we're excited to watch it.
And this is the Looking for the Father this time. Kim Cattrall is the cool narrator. Oh, yeah, you know what I should ask you while I have you? We just recently lost Bob Saget. Can you just real quick say anything about him?
Oh, I mean, Bob is, I had the tremendous good luck to be able to work with Bob pretty regularly for 9 years, and he's everything that people say he was and more. He was just this wonderful, like, he would walk any room he would walk into, he would not leave until he'd made every person in that room laugh. I mean, he's just like, he kind of knew that his mission in life was to bring joy to any room he was in, and he did it, and he never let up. Never let up for a second. It was always, we would, you know, sometimes we would have him come in to record just like one line. He would have one line that you know, if we changed something in the editing and we needed the narrator to just say, then we went to the bar. He would come in and it would take him 45 minutes to say, then we went to the bar, because he would give us a 43-minute stand-up routine there in the recording booth and just make everyone just, we're rolling on the floor laughing before he would ever get to actually doing his job, because his first mission in life was to bring joy to those in his immediate surroundings, and he just always did it. It's a great loss. I really miss him.
Carter Bays, the book is The Mutual Friend. I'm going to paraphrase Jason Siegel and agree with him. The Mutual Friend is great. Comes out on June 7th. Thanks for taking the time to talk today. Good luck with everything.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
It's really been fun. All right. Bye.